Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, it is Drags Mike Petralia back with the latest episode of the Jungle War podcast, powered as always by the FanDuel Sportsbook, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. It is my pleasure, my privilege, my honor to welcome back the one and only Jay Morrison of Pro Football Network back to the Jungle War podcast. Jay, I trust you had a restful and enjoyable bye weekend watching, I gather, some good college football as well as NFL football on Sunday.
The latter, yes, enjoyable. The former, restful, not so much. Went to Ohio University to visit my son, so 3-hour drive there, 3-hour drive back, a lot of walking around, and yeah, it's you kind of go back to your college days and relive a little bit of that. So it wasn't restful, but it was enjoyable.
Well, you always rep OU, the Bobcats, very well. Yes. And my significant other is a Bobcat as well, as you well know, Deborah. Yes. Went to OU. So the fact that you're repping the school will make her very happy when she delivers my critique of this podcast. All right. Enough of the frivolity. Let's get down to the brass tacks of what ails the Cincinnati Bengals going into the bye week and how they need to come out really charging hard in, as you pointed out on Twitter, the only division in the NFL that is at 500 or better for all four of its teams. How do the Bengals go about addressing? I'll start with the run game because I think that's the most obvious glaring need. How do they go about fixing that, Jay?
Yeah, I think they kind of pivot away from the move they made last year where they went to exclusively shotgun. And Brian Callahan, the offensive coordinator, has said they're going to do more under center. This isn't a rip up the run game, and it's going to look totally different. But they are going to be under center a little bit more. Just, I mean, it's not just the run game. It helps certain runs, but it really, the play action off of that can really set up some of these more explosive passes that they've been missing. Maybe get T. Higgins going. You get him one-on-one. Joe trusts him to throw up some of those 50-50 balls, and T's going to come down with those more often than not, even though he struggled so early. So I think that's where it starts. The bigger question in my mind is not what they do, but who they do or whom they do it with. And are we going to see, Chase Brown?
Yeah.
Are we going to see more of him? He's not the biggest guy. He's not going to be the answer on the goal line and on fourth and one in the areas where they've really struggled, but he does have such burst, such explosion. And if they can get some more, if they trust him to put him in there a little bit more, get some more passes to him and get him in open space. I know that's not really the run game, but just the running back room to get more production out of that. And the way they view the RPOs and those quick outside passes, part of the run game as well. There's a lot of meat left on that bone. I think we've all been, I've been surprised with how effective Joe Mixon's been. But there are limitations.
And he's starting to wear down a little bit, Jay, do you think?
Yeah, he's getting older. We kind of knew this was the case, that he's running backs don't really show that hint of decline. It's more like a cliff. So you're going along fine and then you're not. And you better have a plan for when that happens because you don't know when it's going to happen. And when you ride a guy like Joe Mixon, who's getting older, and it's not like they're giving him 25 carries a game, but you still wonder as this season gets later when they're going to need him more, when the weather turns, is he going to have it? And I think that's why they need to start prepping Chase Brown.
I have been on this bandwagon and the soapbox, I should say. I've been on this soapbox for at least the last year and a half. The Bengals' inability to gain a yard when they absolutely, positively have to have the yard has not been there. And, you know, I think it would drive a lot of Bengal fans nuts as, to, you know, in all of these situations that come up, whether it's in the postseason, the Super Bowl, or against the Seattle Seahawks or the Arizona Cardinals twice on the goal line, why can't this team get 1 yard?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to the earlier years you mentioned that they just didn't have an O-line that could get that push. I'm surprised. Everybody thinks when you need the 1 yard, you just slam it up in there. I mean, with how good Joe is on the move and with how hard Jamar Chase is to cover in a short space, I just surprised we don't see more of those quarterback sprint outs on fourth and short, third and short, whatever it is. And you know, if that first option is there, which it usually is, a quick little pitch to Jamar. And if it's not, I mean, Joe's not going to run forever, but he, now that he's healthy again, I think they could feel more confident knowing that if his first option's not there on the pass, he could still get to the corner and get to the yard. I just, you see teams do that all the time, those sprint outs on the short yardage, and it seems like it always works. I know that's probably not the case, but when you're watching these other games, it looks like a successful play, and the Bengals have the personnel to do it.
Snap into action this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place a $5 bet. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action. And the app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. One more time, that's FanDuel.com/Boston. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 and older and present in Massachusetts, Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gambling helpline ma.org, or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Okay, any names stick out to you coming up to Halloween, the trade deadline at 4 p.m. that the Bengals could target in terms of running backs? And then we'll get to tight ends in just a second. But go ahead, if any names come to mind for you.
Yeah, I think P. Ryan's the most obvious, but I just don't know that that's going to happen. I think the coaching staff would love to have him back. Right. But this front office, just it's not the way they operate. They're not going to give up picks. You know, P. Ryan left for a reason. The Bengals offered him the same that Denver did. And I don't know if it was he was tired of being in mix and shadow since they also played together at Oklahoma. If he was promised a bigger role than what he got in Denver, then maybe there is a crack there. Maybe he's frustrated with his usage there and would enjoy a reunion. But I just don't know that the Bengals are going to do something like that. I don't know that they're going to do anything at all. It's just against their MO. They just don't make trades in season unless it's someone, a malcontent, you know, begging to be let go.
Right.
They don't like giving up draft picks. And I get it. I mean, it's never a great plan in the way this organization's been constructed. It makes sense, especially now when you're paying Joe Burrow all this money and Orlando Brown and soon to be Jamar Chase and the guys on defense that they're paying. You're gonna have those draft picks are even more valuable because that's how you're gonna have to sustain this team and fill out this roster. So I get where Duke's coming from, but man, it just feels like this team could get right back to where they were at the end of last year with a small piece or two, a small price to pay. I just don't think we're going to see him do it.
We talked about this off air, Jay, speaking with Jay Morrison of Pro Football Network.
The last time the Bengals made a significant in-season acquisition, not a trade away, but an acquisition, this is remarkable. Bring it up, Jay. 1972. And the player was?
Hall of Famer Charlie Joyner, who's he spent most of his career with the Chargers, so he doesn't count as a Bengals Hall of Famer.
Correct.
That trade was on November 1st, 1972. So this year's trade deadline will be 51 years, almost to the day. It was October 31st is this year's trade deadline. So pretty remarkable. I mentioned the malcontents, Carlos Dunlap, Carson Palmer demanded a trade, finally got his way. Ricky Hundley, I don't remember what the situation was with Dan Ross in 1985, but that's what we're talking about. We're going back to 1985, and the Bengals have made four trades, in-season trades, and none of them were acquisitions. They were all shipping guys off.
Now, a lot of fans have heard this expression from us in the media and from others around and close to the team. This is a Super Bowl or bust season. I don't know if you're buying into that, but if that were indeed the case, wouldn't this be one of those exceptions where the Bengals go out and maybe trade away a draft pick for a guy that could come in and make a big difference?
Yeah, if it was Super Bowl or bust, but I don't think it is. I mean, you know, Burrow said it. I think the front office buys into it, that the Super Bowl window is open his entire career. These years all run together. I can't remember if Duke said this at this year's Mock Turtle Soup Fest or last year's, but they're never going to sacrifice a future year for a current year.
Every
year is important to them, and that's what he's talking about. You know, you saw the Rams do it. The Rams went for it. They went all in, and they won the Super Bowl. They beat the Bengals, and then a couple injuries, and look how putrid they were last year. The Bengals never want to be in that situation, but, I mean, they've never won a Super Bowl. You fans may not know that. But at what point do you say maybe it is time to do something different? You know, it's like it's not as though they're this dominant machine and they're cranking out double digit win seasons every single year, and they just haven't climbed the mountaintop to win a Lombardi trophy. They've had their share of downtimes, and you know, maybe at some point, yeah, you say let's try something new, because they have in so many other areas of the organization. They have embraced new thought and tried new things, especially these last few years, to great success. But when it comes to roster building, they are just stuck in their ways, and I don't see it changing anytime soon.
All right. We've addressed the running back position. It is gaining about 3.47 yards per carry. That is 27th in the National Football League. I don't go by, you know, the yards per game, because for a team like the Bengals that aren't really going to run the ball a lot to begin with, I think it's irrelevant that they haven't had a 100-yard rusher in X number of games and counting. I think the bigger number is yards per carry. But the other position that I want to get to is the tight end position. A lot of fans feel that this is an area where the Bengals need to improve. Irv Smith has either been injured or hasn't been really targeted as part of a primary part of the offense. And, you know, when you take a look at the tight end position for the Bengals, arguably the best receiving tight end has been on their practice squad in Tanner Hudson. He had the biggest explosive play of any tight end of the four tight ends that the Bengals have so far this year in the game against the Rams. What do the Bengals need to do, assuming it's not going to be in the trade market? What do they do with the tight end position moving forward?
Yeah, I think kind of the progression of what we're already seeing with Burrow getting healthy. Irv Smith's never going to be they have had a couple of plays where he's been the primary target. And there was one last game against Seattle where he was wide open and the protection broke down. And Brian Callahan, like, surprisingly, I've not heard him. He called out Jonah Williams and Joe Mixon for missing their blocks on that play. Normally it's, we had a protection breakdown. He called out specific names. That was wide open for a touchdown if they get there. But I still don't think you're going to see a lot of that. I think what you're going to see is, now that Burrow is more healthy and he can get through his progressions, and, you know, maybe Irv is the third in the progressions, and he's running up the seam against a linebacker that can't run with them, or a safety that's too small, whatever it might be. If Burrow's not trying to get rid of the ball so fast because he's so worried about the calf and he starts looking like the Joe Burrow of old, then maybe that does open up the offense more. I don't know if Irv can ever be a Hayden Hurst type where you get the quick check down and you just count on him to break a tackle or just flat out run over a guy the way Hayden Hurst used to do. I don't think that's where Irv Smith is going to see increased production. It's going to be on those mismatches up the seam when Burrow has a little more time to find him if he doesn't see what he likes from Jamar and from T.
You've had terrific article on Pro Football Network. We talked about Oklahoma a little while ago. Two Oklahoma players, one Cody Ford, and he was ghosted by another Oklahoma player that unfortunately landed on the Cincinnati Bengals in the offseason, thanks to one of the Bengals' most remarkable free agent signings in their history. Tell us a little bit about that story, Jay.
Yeah, so I was talking to Cody yesterday just about, you know, how difficult that was to he'd never played left tackle since high school. And now you're in the fourth quarter of a gotta have it win against Seattle and Orlando Brown's groin injury flares up. He can't finish. And it's Cody Ford that they turn to be the backup there. We thought it was going to be Deontay Smith. Is it going to be Jackson Carman? And Brian Callahan said, no, Cody Ford moved into that spot very early in training camp. So Cody Ford comes in and I thought he played pretty well. And I just, in the bustle of the post-game locker room, I just didn't have time to go talk to Cody Ford. Right. And then the next day was the bye and they got out of there. So I wanted to get him yesterday and I did. And he was terrific. He was really interesting, really funny. And that's what he was talking about is, you know, he hasn't played left tackle in the NFL ever. And he's primarily played guard. He started 15 games at right tackle with Buffalo as a rookie, but then he was kind of switched to a guard and that's who he's been. And so his agent before training or before free agency said, how do you want me to sell you to other teams? And he's like, sell me as a tackle. That's what I want to play. And the Bengals, he said the Bengals were open to that. Like, yeah, come on in. Battle for the backup tackle spot. They still list him as a guard on their roster, but I don't know that the coaching staff has much say on what the actual social team is putting up on the website, but it is interesting. They list him as a guard. So he has a flight to Cincinnati to have a visit, and he knew Orlando Brown was a free agent. And he's like, hey, let's get it back together in Cincinnati. And he had actually texted him a couple weeks earlier about this and didn't hear back. And so now it's the eve of or free agency's already started. And he has this visit and he texts Orlando again and still doesn't get
We've all been there, Cody. We text a friend that, oh, this friend is going to want to hear from us. They're going to get right back to us. Yes. And radio silence.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you even see the three dots because you think they're typing and they read it and then they ignored it. And so, yeah, you're right. We've all been there. And then Cody's on his flight to Cincinnati to sign his deal. And he sees the breaking news that Orlando's coming to Cincinnati too. So he was thrilled. It was really cool of Orlando too, because normally when a guy gets knocked out of a game with an injury like that, the first thing is to go get treatment and you see him leave the field. Maybe they come back in street clothes. But Orlando never did that. He stayed, and maybe that was because it was the fourth quarter too. The game was almost over. But he stayed out there in uniform and was a big help telling Cody, okay, this is what they're doing. This is what they're running. This is how you can counter it. And that's a big help anytime. Cause Orlando was talking about how hard it is to come in the middle of a game when there's a flow and just come off the bench cold like that, but especially in a position you've never played in the NFL. So I just thought that was kind of a cool dynamic between those two in the locker room yesterday.
Why do you think the Bengals handle the second half of the season, or at least the post bye part of the schedule, so well with Zach Taylor?
Because Joe Burrow's always hurt in the early part of the season. I mean, I think that's a big part of it. Yeah. I definitely think that has led to some of these slow starts. I think part of it too is the country club approach they take in the offseason and in training camp. They're not super physical. They do it with the long game in mind of keeping these guys healthy and keeping them fresh down the stretch. You know, there's not many teams run the table throughout the season. You can either be hot early, you can be hot late. It's better to be hot late. Yeah, sometimes those slow starts are hard to overcome, but the Bengals have proven they can do it. This year might be a little bit tougher, but I think both of those kind of lead into it. And then the other part is, and I referenced it earlier, when they went to completely shotgun run last, they're not afraid to make these these mid-season changes when they see things aren't working. I think that's where maybe some encouragement should be for fans. And the interesting part coming out of this bye is what is going to be different, because every team self-scouts, yep. and some of them, they might tweak some calls, some tendencies and that, but the Bengals have a way of actually making significant changes at this kind of point in the season. So that I am interested to see what it's going to look like coming out of this bye. And, you know, until they prove they can't get hot in a second half, I think you have to trust that it's more likely than not that they will get things going and be right in the thick of it when we get to January, December.
I'm not saying that Joe Burrow is going to be Kenny Anderson, but wouldn't, or even Boomer for that matter. but I would be interested in seeing more pure play action from Joe Burrow in the second half of the season and when post bye, if indeed he is 100% healthy. And it appears he's very, very close.
Yeah, and I think that's where Chase Brown can help, because the play action, the thing with Joe, and you talked about it, the yards per carry aren't great. And the Bengals look at it more as rushing efficiency, like how many plays did they get what was expected? And Mixon's not a home run hitter. And so a lot of those guys that have more yards per carry might have more negative runs or 0 yard runs, but then they break a 41 here and there, a 50 or something like that. And that all kind of plays into that average. And when you have a guy in Mixon who doesn't really present that kind of threat, I don't know how effective play action is going to be, but you get a Chase Brown in there and it's like, okay, he breaks one tackle and he can go 40, 50, then play action becomes a much more effective tool. So I think that all kind of plays together. Go under center more often, use play action more often, use Chase Brown more often, keep the defense on their toes. They've become a pretty predictable offense through 6 weeks, and part of that's due to the injury.
How did you read Brian Callahan's "We Get What's Blocked"?
Just like that. I mean, we have no explosion. And it's the efficiency. That's what they go for. And if they're supposed to get five, they get five. But there is clearly some frustration there that I don't know if it's because it's not like Mixon's not breaking tackles. He is. He looks good. He's breaking tackles. He's making guys miss. Now, a lot of times it's more in the screen game when he's doing it out in the open right. field in the flat. But yeah, I don't know if that was pointed. I guess it would have to be pointed at Joe, because he's the main ball carrier, and you're not pointing a finger at the offensive line, because you're saying they're blocking what you're getting what they've given you. So it's on the back to make one guy miss and turn a 5 yarder into a 15 or a 20.
T Higgins. Now granted, he is coming off a rib injury, and rib injuries, if you have ever had them, when it hurts to even cough, sneeze, what have you. Granted, he, you know, is hurt the last couple of weeks, but I think the Bengals are going to have T. Higgins closer to his true potential than what he has been through the first 6 weeks, if this offense is going to take that next step in the second half.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you don't want to say he's what makes it go, but the pairing of him and Jamar, I mean, look at all the crazy number Jamar is putting up without T being a threat. And then all of a sudden T starts becoming a threat, and you could see even more from Jamar, or you could see T having some of these games, or yeah, Tyler Boyd up in the middle. I think we're going to see some more of Yossi Voss in the second half of the season. He's another guy that Joe Burrow trusts him, and he's a guy that can win those high point, those 50-50 balls. I don't think you're going to see him throw it to him as much as he would T Higgins, but I think we're going to see some more of him. So yeah, Higgins, T, they've got to get him going. And I wouldn't be too concerned about it unless he takes a shot on that rib again and then he has to miss games. But he's as motivated as anybody to get going. I mean, this is a contract year. Yeah. I mean, there's millions of dollars on the line here. So it's not necessarily that he's not getting the targets from Joe Burrow. It's like I said before, it's Joe constantly going to that first read through the first 6 games because of the injury. And a lot of times that first read was Jamar Chase. You see, they're moving him all around the field to make that the case, to get him open on the move quicker, get the ball out quicker. And it looks like the last 2 games, the way Joe's moving, that he's back to normal. And I think that's just going to lead to T getting back to normal and this offense getting back to normal.
All right. That is Jay Morrison of Pro Football Network. Something I want to give you the chance here to do, Jay, is promote your podcast, the Pro Football Network Bengals podcast with Dallas D. Robinson. What do you have up this week?
Yeah, so we're getting ready to record here a little bit later on Tuesday. We're going to look ahead to the San Francisco game since we don't have a game to recap from this past weekend. And then we're going to play a little game, a couple games. What's most likely to happen in the second half of the season and versus least, and then which of we're going to power rank which five things that need to happen will happen first. So we're going to break that down. We do a fantasy betting segment on that podcast. We can help you guys with your bets on Sunday. So a lot of information, a lot of ground to cover this week, even with coming off the bye week. And I do appreciate you giving me a minute to plug the show.
Please. Anytime, Jay, the least I could do. By the way, I think it's interesting, Jay, 3 weeks ago, even when we saw San Francisco at San Francisco, followed by home to Buffalo, we thought those two teams are two of the best in the NFL. San Francisco, a little banged up. They've lost two straight. They're coming on, into this week. Granted, it's at home, but it's on a short week. And then the Bills, they just lost to the Patriots. They really should have lost at home to the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football. They are struggling. How do you read those two games back to back real quick?
Yeah, much more winnable. I mean, the 49ers was a shock, as you mentioned. They were banged up, so you expected the offense to be a little down. The defense, they had everybody, and Minnesota didn't have Justin Jefferson, and Kirk Cousins still threw for almost 400 yards. They really lit up that San Francisco defense. That was the most surprising thing. So I think there's an opportunity for the Bengals to go out there and do what they've done in the past, come off the bye strong, hit the ground running. And Buffalo, even the Jacksonville game they lost in London, they just look fallible now. They do not look like the same team. And that game is in Cincinnati in prime time. You know the crowd's going to be electric. I'd be surprised if they don't come out of these two 1-1 at least.
Right. And I think there's a sense that they need to accomplish that if they want to be where they want to be in the AFC North going forward. By the way, Fred Warner, one of the very best defensive players in the National Football League. I know we've already seen Myles Garrett of Cleveland. We will see Nick Bosa this week. Orlando Brown Jr. will have his hands full there. But Fred Warner is a middle linebacker. I don't think there's a better middle linebacker in football.
And he left for one play last night, and came right back in, and Greenlaw did the same thing. It's just a tough defense. There are really elite players at all three levels of that San Francisco defense. But if Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson, less Vikings can do it, the Bengals offense can put up some points too.
He is the one and only Jay Morrison, does a tremendous job covering the Cincinnati Bengals and the NFL for Pro Football Network. Be sure to check him out there and as well on his Twitter handle page. Do that, and Jay will be very happy that you checked him out, I'm sure. By the way, good luck to your Bobcats the rest of the season.
Yeah, by the way, you mentioned it earlier, my wife has never watched a single episode of my podcast, so I think it's great that Deborah watches yours.
I will pass that along. She is in the background, actually in the kitchen behind me, so I'll be sure to make sure she hears that and knows that. All right, he is Jay Morrison. I'm Mike Petralia. Thanks for downloading this episode of the Jungle War podcast. It is powered by FanDuel Sportsbook, the exclusive online wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Until next week, keep that jungle roaring.